A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been doing some light engraving for inventory marking, and it got him thinking about disposable respirators. He's got asthma, so this isn't just academic for him. He's trying to find that sweet spot between something that actually protects his lungs, something comfortable enough to wear for hours, and something that won't make his neighbors think he's preparing for the apocalypse. He specifically wants to know the differences between N95s, N99s, and masks like the SN98 that got popular during COVID, what they're actually rated for, how they compare for comfort, and where the line is where you should stop messing with disposables and reach for a proper wearable respirator.
I love this question because it sits right at the intersection of engineering, regulatory standards, and the deeply human problem of not wanting to look like a lunatic in your own driveway. And I have to say, the social dimension here is real and under discussed. Most safety guidance pretends that peer perception doesn't exist, which is absurd when you're talking about something you wear on your face.
Like wearing a full tuxedo to a backyard barbecue. Nobody's going to say you're wrong, but everyone's going to notice.
And the half-face elastomeric respirator, the one with the twin cartridges, is the tuxedo of respiratory protection. It's technically excellent, but it broadcasts a level of concern that makes people uncomfortable. So the question becomes, for what Daniel's doing, what actually works, and what's just safety theater?
Let's start with the alphabet soup then. N95, N99, SN98. What do these designations actually mean? And more importantly, what don't they mean?
The N series is a NIOSH classification. That's the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. The N means not resistant to oil. These are filters designed for particulates that aren't oil-based. If you're dealing with oil mists, you need an R or a P rating instead. But for wood dust, metal particles from engraving, general workshop particulate, N, is what you want. The number is the minimum filtration efficiency against the most penetrating particle size, which is around 0.3 microns. An N95 must filter at least 95% of those particles. An N99 must filter at least 99%. An N100 must filter at least 99.97%. These numbers are tested under worst-case conditions with sodium chloride aerosol at a flow rate of 85 liters per minute.
The difference between 95 and 99% sounds meaningful on paper. 4 percentage points. But I'm guessing the real-world gap is more complicated.
It is, and this is where most coverage gets it wrong. The filtration efficiency difference between an N95 and an N99 is real but small in absolute terms. If you're in an environment with 100 particles per liter of air, the N95 lets through 5, the N99 lets through 1. For most non-industrial applications, that's negligible. The much bigger difference is breathing resistance. To hit 99% efficiency, the filter media typically needs to be denser or use more electrostatic charge, and either way you're working harder to pull air through it.
Which for someone with asthma is not a trivial consideration.
Not at all. If you're struggling to breathe through the mask, you're going to break the seal around your nose, you're going to pull it down for a break, you're going to defeat the whole purpose. Comfort and compliance are safety features, not luxuries.
There's a genuine trade-off here that the raw numbers obscure. What about the SN98? That one was everywhere during COVID, and I remember it being marketed almost like a premium N95.
Right, so the SN98, and I want to be precise about this because there's a lot of confusion, is not a NIOSH classification. NIOSH doesn't recognize SN as a category. The SN98 is a Chinese standard, specifically GB2626-2006 or the updated 2019 version. SN, in this context, is sometimes used as shorthand for certain KN95-type masks, but I should note that SN98 became a sort of brand-level term during COVID rather than a formal standard designation. The actual Chinese standards are KN90, KN95, KN100 for non-oil particulates, and KP90, KP95, KP100 for oil-resistant.
The mask that was everywhere during a pandemic was essentially a brand name masquerading as a standard.
The consumer-grade respirator market during COVID was the Wild West. You had legitimate KN95s that met the Chinese standard and were roughly equivalent to N95s. You had counterfeits that filtered practically nothing, and you had everything in between. The SN98 branding was used by several manufacturers, Sanex and others, and some of those masks tested well. But SN98 itself isn't a certification you can verify against a standard the way you can with NIOSH approval numbers.
Which brings us to the uncomfortable truth that most people bought masks based on whatever Amazon had in stock, and whatever packaging looked most scientific.
That's still largely the case. If you walk into a hardware store today, you'll see N95s with NIOSH approval numbers printed on them. That's your gold standard for verification. You can look up that number in the NIOSH certified equipment list. If a mask claims to be N95 but doesn't have a TC approval number, that's testing and certification. It's not a real N95.
Let's talk about fit, because this is where things get genuinely interesting. You can have the best filter media in the world, and if the mask doesn't seal against your face, you're essentially wearing an expensive chin decoration.
This is the single most important thing about disposable respirators, and it's what separates them from the loose-fitting surgical masks people also wore during COVID. A surgical mask is designed to catch droplets from the wearer. It's source control, not wearer protection. An N95 is designed to filter the air you breathe in, but only if it seals. NIOSH requires fit testing for occupational use, and the failure rate is surprisingly high. Depending on the study, somewhere between 10 and 40% of people can't get an adequate fit with a given N95 model.
That's with proper training on how to don it. The average person grabbing one off the shelf and slapping it on is probably doing worse.
There's a reason OSHA requires annual fit testing for workers who rely on these. The common failure points are the nose bridge, especially if you wear glasses, the cheeks and under the chin. Facial hair is a deal breaker. Even a day's stubble can create enough leakage to drop the effective protection dramatically.
For Daniel's engraving work, the first question isn't which rating to buy. It's whether the thing actually seals to his face.
And this is where the comfort question loops back in. A properly fitted N95 is snug. The head straps, not ear loops, head straps create tension that pulls the mask against your face. After a few hours, that pressure gets old. The mask gets warm and humid inside. If you're doing physical work, you're generating more moisture. This is where the elastomeric half-face respirator actually has an advantage. The silicone seal is more comfortable for extended wear than the rigid edge of a disposable, and the exhalation valve makes it less swampy inside. We're back to the tuxedo problem, and I think this is worth taking seriously. The best respirator is the one you'll actually wear. If social discomfort makes you skip it, it's worse than useless. It's a false sense of security from a mask sitting in a drawer.
Let's talk about valves for a moment, because this became surprisingly contentious during COVID. I remember venues and businesses specifically banning valved respirators.
That was one of the great public health communication failures of the pandemic. Exhalation valves are a comfort feature. They reduce heat and moisture buildup inside the mask by letting your exhaled breath escape without going through the filter media. For industrial use, they're standard and recommended. The problem during COVID was that a valved respirator doesn't filter what you exhale, so it doesn't provide source control. It protects you, but not the people around you.
Which, in a pandemic context, is a legitimate concern. For engraving in your backyard, it's completely irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant, and in fact, the valve is a major quality of life improvement for extended wear. If you're doing an hour of engraving with an unvalved N95, by the end you're going to feel like you're breathing through a wet sock. With a valve, it's noticeably more comfortable. For Daniel's use case, I would absolutely recommend a valved model.
We've got N95, N99, the vaguely defined SN98 category. What about the N95s that have an activated carbon layer? Those started showing up during COVID too, marketed for odor reduction.
This is where we cross into a really important distinction that most people miss. Particulate filters, NR, P-series, do nothing for gases and vapors. If you're engraving metal and you're concerned about the particulates, an N95 is appropriate. If you're using solvents, paints, adhesives, anything that off-gasses, you need a different type of protection entirely.
The carbon layer?
The carbon layer in some disposable N95s is for nuisance-level odors. It's a thin layer, not the deep bed of activated carbon you'd find in a cartridge respirator. It'll take the edge off mild smells, but it is not rated for toxic gases and vapors. NIOSH does not certify these for chemical protection. They're a comfort feature, not a safety feature.
For engraving, and I'm thinking about this specific task Daniel described, marking inventory, probably on metal or plastic. What's actually in the air?
Engraving generates particulates. If you're using a rotary tool on metal, you're creating fine metal dust. On plastic, you're creating plastic particulates. On coated surfaces, you might be aerosolizing whatever coating is on there. None of these are gases or vapors. They're solid particulates, and an N95 is the appropriate level of protection. The metal dust from engraving is generally larger than the 0.3 micron most penetrating particle size, so you're getting effective filtration well above the rated minimum.
What about the really fine stuff? I've seen warnings about submicron particles from certain materials.
For most hobbyist and light commercial engraving, we're not talking about the kind of ultrafine particulates you get from welding or plasma cutting. Those processes vaporize metal and create fume, actual fume, particles under 1 micron that can get deep into the lungs. Engraving is mechanical abrasion. The particles are larger, they settle faster, and they're well within the capture range of N95 media.
The N95 is technically sufficient. An N99 would be marginally better, but harder to breathe through, and the SN98 is a branding exercise that may or may not correspond to anything verifiable.
That's the short version, but I want to add a layer here because the prompt specifically asked about the limit where you should reach for a proper wearable respirator, and I think there are actually several thresholds worth mapping out.
Let's map them.
First threshold, duration. If you're wearing a disposable for more than about 4 hours a day, you're going to start having skin irritation from the pressure points, the straps are going to lose elasticity, and the cost of disposables starts to add up. An elastomeric half-face with P100 cartridges costs maybe $30 to $50 up front, and the cartridges last months under light use. The math flips pretty quickly.
At some number of hours per week, the disposable becomes the expensive option.
Second threshold, the type of hazard. As soon as you introduce any chemical component, paint, solvent, adhesive, even strong cleaning products, you're out of particulate-only territory and you need combination cartridges. An N95 won't help you. A half-face with organic vapor cartridges will. Every time you don a disposable, the fit is slightly different. You might get a good seal one day and a poor one the next. An elastomeric respirator with a silicone facepiece is more forgiving and more consistent. If you're doing something where reliable protection matters, and for someone with asthma, it matters more than for the average person, that consistency is worth paying for.
That's an underappreciated point. Asthma means your baseline respiratory function is already compromised. A bad air day plus a poorly sealed mask is a compounding problem.
That's the fourth threshold, actually, sensitivity. For someone with asthma, the threshold for how much particulate is too much is lower than for someone with healthy lungs. Metal dust is an irritant. Plastic dust can be an irritant. Even if the exposure is below occupational limits, an asthmatic response can be triggered at much lower concentrations, so the margin for error is smaller.
Which suggests that for Daniel's situation, the half-face might actually be the more appropriate choice on medical grounds, even though it's the tuxedo option socially.
It does, and I want to be careful here because I'm a retired pediatrician, not his doctor, but the general principle is sound. If you have a pre-existing respiratory condition and you're generating airborne particulates, you want to err on the side of more protection and better fit. The social discomfort is real, but so is an asthma exacerbation.
What about the in-between option? The reusable mask that looks like a disposable but isn't. I've seen these marketed as fashionable or low-profile respirators.
There's a whole category now of what I'd call lifestyle respirators. Masks that use replaceable filters but look more like a designer face mask than industrial PPE. Brands like AirPop, Respro, and a dozen others have jumped into this space. Some of them use filter media that test well, but very few are NIOSH approved. They occupy this gray zone between better than nothing and actually certified.
The bike commuter in Beijing aesthetic.
And some of them are decent. The AirPop Active, for instance, uses a KN95 equivalent filter and has a pretty good seal design. But they're not subject to the same rigorous testing and quality control as NIOSH-approved products. For nuisance dust, they're probably fine. For someone with asthma doing regular particulate-generating work, I'd be hesitant.
Let's go back to something you mentioned earlier about fit testing. Is there a practical way for someone at home to check whether their mask is sealing properly?
The quick and dirty method is a user seal check. For a disposable N95, you cup your hands over the mask, don't press on it, just cover it, and exhale sharply. If you feel air leaking around the nose or cheeks, adjust and try again. Then inhale sharply. The mask should collapse slightly. If air rushes in around the edges, the seal isn't there.
That's the kind of practical guidance that never made it into the pandemic PSAs.
It absolutely should have. The other thing is that different face shapes need different mask models. The 3M Aura, for example, fits a lot of people well because of its flat fold design and foam nose bridge. The classic 3M 8220 cup style is more hit or miss. The Moldex models with the foam face seal are comfortable but don't fit everyone. If you're serious about this, you try 3 or 4 models and find the one that seals on your face.
We're essentially saying that respirator shopping is like jean shopping. You have to try them on, and what works for someone else might be terrible for you.
And unlike jeans, the consequences of a bad fit aren't just aesthetic.
Let's talk about the N99 specifically for a moment, because it does occupy this odd middle ground. It's more protective than an N95 on paper, but it never really caught on the way N95s did for general use.
A few reasons. First, as I mentioned, the breathing resistance is higher. For most industrial and healthcare applications, N95 is considered adequate, so there's no regulatory push toward N99. Second, N99s tend to be more expensive and harder to find. Third, and this is the slightly cynical but true answer, the N95 has become a brand in itself. People know what an N95 is. N99 sounds like a marketing gimmick to the average consumer, even though it's a legitimate NIOSH classification.
It's the USB 3.2 Gen 2 of respirators. Technically better, but nobody can keep the naming straight.
The naming conventions in respiratory protection are terrible. You've got N, R, and P ratings that mean nothing intuitive to a normal person. You've got numbers that are percentages, but not exactly. You've got half face, full face, quarter face, loose fitting, tight fitting. And then you layer on the international standards. FFP1, FFP2, FFP3 in Europe, KN95 in China, KF94 in Korea, P2 in Australia. It's a mess.
FFP2 versus N95. Are they equivalent?
FFP2 requires at least 94% filtration, so slightly lower than N95's 95%. But the testing protocols are different enough that you can't do a direct one-to-one comparison. FFP2 also tests for total inward leakage on human subjects, not just filter penetration. In practice, a properly fitted FFP2 and a properly fitted N95 are going to perform similarly for most applications.
The KF94, that also became popular during COVID.
Korean standard, 94% minimum filtration, and interestingly, the KF94s tend to have a design that fits a lot of faces better than the typical N95 cup style. The boat shape with the flat front and the good nose wire. Many people found them more comfortable and better sealing than the industrial N95s they'd tried. But again, not NIOSH approved, so in an occupational setting in the US, they don't count.
Which brings us to the enforcement side. If someone's just doing hobby work at home, none of these regulatory distinctions matter. What matters is whether the thing works.
And whether it works comes down to 3 things, filtration efficiency, fit, and consistent use. If you've got a KN95 that fits you perfectly and you wear it every time, that's better than an N95 that gaps at the cheeks and you leave on the workbench half the time.
Let's try to synthesize this into something useful. For Daniel's specific situation, light engraving, outdoors or in a ventilated space, asthma as a complicating factor, wanting to avoid the apocalypse, survivalist look, what would you actually recommend?
I'd tier it. For very short sessions, 5-10 minutes of engraving, a valved N95 that fits well is perfectly adequate. The exposure is brief, the particulate load is low, and the convenience factor means you'll actually use it. For longer sessions, an hour or more, I'd seriously consider the elastomeric half face with P100 filters. The comfort advantage over time is significant, and for someone with asthma, the better seal and lower breathing resistance of a good elastomeric. Counterintuitively, P100 cartridges often have lower breathing resistance than N95 filter media because they use different filtration mechanisms, can actually make extended wear more tolerable.
Wait, say that again. A P100 is easier to breathe through than an N95.
P100 cartridges use a pleated filter design with a much larger surface area than the flat or lightly pleated media in a disposable N95. More surface area means lower resistance for the same airflow. The filtration mechanism is also different. P100s often use a combination of mechanical and electrostatic filtration in a deeper bed. The result is that a P100 cartridge can actually feel less restrictive than a disposable N95, even though it's filtering more efficiently.
That is counterintuitive, and exactly the kind of thing that never makes it into the marketing.
It's one of those facts that sounds wrong until you think about the physics. It's like how a larger engine running at lower RPM can be more efficient than a smaller engine screaming at redline. The P100 has more filter area doing the work.
The half face with P100s might actually be more comfortable to breathe through for extended work, not just more protective.
For extended work, absolutely. And the silicone face seal, once it warms up to body temperature, is surprisingly comfortable. The main downsides are the weight, it's heavier than a disposable, and the bulk, which can interfere with eye protection and definitely contributes to the tuxedo effect.
What about the full face option? That seems like overkill for engraving, but I'm curious where that enters the conversation.
Full face respirators enter when you need eye protection as part of the respiratory protection, either because the contaminant is an eye irritant or because you're in an environment where you need both anyway and the integration is convenient. For engraving, safety glasses plus a half face is the more practical combination. Full face is for spray painting, chemical handling, that kind of thing.
Let's circle back to something Daniel mentioned about single-use products in general. He said he tries to avoid them. Is there a sustainability argument here that tilts toward the reusable respirator?
There is, and it's not trivial. A disposable N95 is a composite product, polypropylene filter media, polyurethane nose foam, elastic straps, sometimes a metal nose clip. It's not recyclable. It goes to landfill. If you're using one a day for a year, that's 365 masks in the trash. An elastomeric respirator body lasts for years, and the cartridges are replaced maybe twice a year for light use. The waste stream is dramatically smaller.
Though the cartridges themselves aren't recyclable either.
No, but two cartridges a year versus 365 masks is an order of magnitude difference. And the cartridges are mostly activated carbon and filter media in a plastic housing. Still not great, but substantially less material per unit of protection delivered.
There's a case on environmental grounds, a case on comfort grounds for extended wear, and a case on medical grounds for someone with asthma. The only case against the half face is social.
The upfront cost, which is higher but amortizes quickly. A 3M half face with a pack of P100 cartridges is maybe $40 total. A box of 2095s is around $25 to $30. If you're using them regularly, the break-even is somewhere around 2 to 3 months.
What about the specific models? If someone is going to go the disposable route, which N95s are worth looking at?
The 3M or a 921 Plus, that's the valved version, is widely considered one of the most comfortable and best-fitting disposables on the market. The flat fold design, the braided head straps, the foam nose bridge, it's the one I'd start with. The Moldex 4200 series with the foam face seal is another good option if the Aura doesn't fit. For smaller faces, the 3M V-Flex 9W05 is surprisingly good and very breathable. The key is the head straps. Avoid ear loop designs for anything where protection matters. Ear loops can't generate enough tension for a reliable seal.
On the reusable side?
The 3M 6500 series half face with the quick latch feature is excellent. You can drop it down to talk or take a drink without removing the whole thing. The 7500 series has a silicone seal that's even more comfortable. For P100 cartridges, the 3M 291 or 297, the 297 adds nuisance-level organic vapor relief, which might be nice if there are any solvents or finishes nearby. Honeywell and MSA make good equivalents. The key is getting the right size. Half-face respirators come in small, medium, and large, and size matters a lot for the seal.
What about the ones with the exhalation valve pointing downward? The kind that looks slightly less industrial because the cartridges are more streamlined.
The low-profile cartridges, like the 3M 2001 or the pancake-style P100s, do reduce the bulk and the Darth Vader silhouette. They're a bit more expensive, but they help with the social acceptability factor. If you're going to be wearing this where neighbors can see you, it's not an unreasonable consideration.
It occurs to me that we've been talking about respirators as if they're purely about physical health. But there's a psychological dimension here that's worth naming. During COVID, masks became politically and socially loaded in ways that industrial PPE never was before. And I think for a lot of people, there's a residual weirdness about wearing a respirator in non-pandemic contexts now.
That's a really astute point. The mask became a symbol of caution, of fear, of political affiliation, of compliance or resistance. And those associations didn't just evaporate when the emergency ended. For someone doing hobby work in their driveway, putting on a half-face respirator can feel like you're re-entering a cultural argument you didn't sign up for.
When really, you're just trying not to inhale metal dust.
And I think one of the quiet benefits of the disposable N95 is that it's small enough and familiar enough from the pandemic that it doesn't register as a statement. It's just a mask. The half-face respirator, with the cartridges and the silicone and the head harness, reads as, "This person believes something serious is happening." Which, for the record, it is. Respiratory protection is serious, but it creates a perception gap between what you're doing and how it looks.
The gap between, "I'm engraving some tools, and I am preparing for the end times."
That gap is uncomfortable, so I understand why Daniel is looking for the socially acceptable option. The honest answer is that for light, intermittent engraving, a good valved N95 is the sweet spot. It's technically appropriate, it's comfortable enough for short sessions, it's discreet, and it doesn't require explaining yourself to the neighbors.
If the work gets more serious, or the sessions get longer, or the asthma becomes a concern, the half face is the right call regardless of what it looks like.
I'd add one more threshold we haven't talked about if you ever move from engraving to any process that involves heat, chemicals, or unknown materials. Soldering, painting, stripping finishes, working with epoxies. You're out of particulate. Only territory, and you need vapor protection. At that point, the half-face with combination cartridges isn't optional. It's necessary.
The decision tree looks something like short sessions, known materials, particulates only, valved N95. Long sessions, asthma concerns, unknown or mixed hazards, half-face with P100 or combination cartridges. And if you're unsure, toward the higher protection, because the consequences of getting it wrong are cumulative and invisible until they're not.
That's a good summary. The thing about respiratory hazards is that the damage is often silent. You don't feel the particulates accumulating in your lungs. By the time you notice a problem, you've had years of exposure. For someone with asthma, the acute effects might show up sooner, coughing, wheezing, tightness, but the chronic effects are still invisible in the moment.
Which is why the best respiratory protection is the one you'll actually wear consistently. The half face in the drawer protects nothing. The N95 you put on every time protects everything.
That's the principle. And it's worth saying explicitly, for what Daniel is doing, light engraving for inventory marking, an N95 is technically appropriate. He's not underprotecting by choosing a disposable. The question is whether the comfort trade-offs over time push him toward the reusable option, and that's a personal calculus.
One more thing about the SN98 specifically. If someone has a box of those left over from COVID, are they worth using, or should they be replaced with something verifiable?
If they're genuine KN95s from a reputable manufacturer, and that's a big if, they're probably fine for nuisance dust. The problem is that most people can't tell the difference between a legitimate KN95 and a counterfeit. During the pandemic, the CDC estimated that something like 60% of KN95s on the U.S. market were counterfeit. If you don't know the provenance, I'd replace them with NIOSH-approved N95s. They're not expensive enough to be worth the uncertainty.
The 60% figure is staggering.
It was a complete market failure. And it's why I keep coming back to the NIOSH approval number as the only reliable signal. If it doesn't have TC followed by a number printed on the mask itself, it's not certified. Everything else is trust.
Trust is not a filtration standard.
Trust is not a filtration standard. I'm putting that on a t-shirt.
To wrap this into something actionable, for light outdoor engraving with asthma, start with a valved N95 from a reputable brand. Do a seal check every time. Replace it when it gets dirty or hard to breathe through. If you find yourself doing this regularly for more than an hour at a time, consider the half face with P100s. Better comfort, better protection, lower long-term cost, and the neighbors will get used to it.
If you ever add chemicals to the mix, upgrade the protection before you start, not after.
The lungs you save may be your own.
That's the idea.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The fossil-rich shale deposits of Labrador's Red Bay area owe their exceptional preservation to rapid burial in low-oxygen marine mud during the early Paleozoic, which is why the region's trilobite fossils often retain delicate antennae and leg structures that decay within days under normal conditions. Local paleontologists in the 1900s nicknamed these remarkably intact specimens Labrador lockboxes.
That's surprisingly evocative for a paleontology term.
It really is.
This has been my Weird Prompts, produced by the ever-mysterious Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My Weird Prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My Weird Prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.